Sunday, we heavily urge everyone in the church to be there because it is a fantastic and wonderful time. There's always a great move of God, and of course, Brother Rhodes will be speaking. And then September 19th, the Move the Mission offerings. And as you can see throughout the church, there's 5 black posters in the foyers, and you can choose your amount you desire to give, but if you take the card, it has to at least be that much. And then all those offerings goes to, of course, all the vehicles, to foreign mission fields, and to evangelists here in the United States as well, and of overseas youth trips and ministries and stuff like that. And then October 2nd is the Jefferson outing, and that's a day trip, and the sign-up sheet is still in the foyer. And then they'll be leaving the church at 8 a.m. that morning. Tonight I have a scripture. I have a few scriptures. It's Matthew 18, verse 20. For where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Looks like there's at least 2 or 3 of us here tonight, and I'm sure there's some online. And then also, Psalms 95, verses 1 through 2. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praises. And I say that with exclamation because in Psalms he has the exclamation points in there. And guys, I see a recipe for success here tonight. There's 2 or 3 of us, and all we have to do is enter into the place of praise, and let's make a joyful noise, and let's shout unto the Lord, and he will abide in our praises. So if you would, help us worship tonight.
Jesus' name. It's funny that he mentioned that about praising God, because this song I'm about to sing is just about him. It's totally about him. So I invite you tonight just to find rest in his presence. I felt that all day. A lot of times I want to do pump-up songs, but today I have felt all day just to take refuge in him because he is our refuge and strength. Captivator of a searching heart, this Jesus, how precious. Mender of a million shattered parts, oh, this Jesus, relentless. Oh, oh, this Jesus. Aren't you thankful? This Jesus, extravagant, keeper of his promise and his word. Such goodness, such faithfulness, so wonderful, so beautiful. That none could earn. Thank you, Jesus. This Jesus, oh, he's extravagant. Keeper of his promise and his word. Such goodness. Isn't he? Isn't he?
Over 30 years and then traveled extensively in the United States. She always told us, she said, you know, you cannot call the name of Jesus too many times in one day. She said, you need to call it as soon as you get up, call it all through the day when you're driving in your car, when you're in the supermarket. Just call the name of Jesus throughout the day. It is such a powerful name, and we are so blessed to be able to use the power that lies resident in the name of Jesus Christ. Can we thank Him? Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. Your name is so powerful. Oh, everything in heaven, earth lies resident in your name. Thank you, Lord, for the power. Thank you for the privilege of calling your name. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we are so blessed tonight to enter into your presence. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're also so thankful tonight that all of the people connected with our church that have been ill with the virus are all recovering very, very well. So we are so, so thankful for the recovery that everyone is making. And of course, Sister Dickie is in the hospital. She needs us to continue to pray that her oxygen level will stabilize, but she also is doing so much better. Yesterday, she told Sister Dot in a text that she felt better yesterday than she had felt in 2 weeks. So we're thanking God that all of our people are being healed, and we're looking forward to them all being back here very, very quickly. We're also going to remember in prayer Sister Billy Bolton, Sister Lois Weems, and Sister Ellen Weaver. Let's continue to remember Lighthouse Boys Ranch that was hit by that hurricane in southern Louisiana. We want to pray for Jeremy Heinite's family. He had a motorcycle accident on Sunday, and he did pass away. So let's pray for that family that God will bring comfort. Sister Tammy Welch wants us to remember her in prayer. She has been ill. Kenny and Georgia McCool, they have an urgent need of prayer. Dustin Humphrey is in the hospital. He desires your prayer. Elias is 1 month old. He's in the hospital. Carrie Dellinger, who is Sister Rosemary's granddaughter, she was in the hospital, but she's home. We're thankful for that. We need to pray for Sister Nell Thompson, Barbara Palmer, Brian Berry, Jerry and Susie Newberry, Donna Swindle, Bryson Jones, Elmarie Stacy, Jeff Gibson, Carol Hush, Ronald Wortham, and Debbie Jones. And let's continue to remember Brother and Sister Bob Bolton, Brother and Sister Proctor, Brother and Sister Bristow, Jeremy and Billy Trinata, and Brother Paul Schoenbarger. We're so thankful that he is recovering well. God is so good. God knows all about all of these names that I have just mentioned. I know that's quite a few for you to remember, to recall, but God knows, and he knows the situation, and he's able to take care of it. So all of these whose names have been called, can we bring them before God in prayer, believing that he's going to do the miraculous. In the name of Jesus, God, we're praying that you're going to bring comfort to this family that has lost a loved one. All of these names that we have called that are ill, you know all about what is wrong with them, and you are able to touch them. So we pray your healing virtue tonight will flow through all of these people whose names that we call. Bring healing to their bodies, to their minds, to their spirits. Oh, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Appreciate the privilege of bringing all of these people before your throne. You are so good. Your mercy is everlasting. Pour out a song. That your truth does endure to all generations. You are good. Oh, yes, you are good.
Draws me to your side. Your mercy, it calls me to be like you. Your favor is my delight. Every day I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song. You are good.
Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever you are good. You are good. You are good. Your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. Your mercy is forever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The ushers may go ahead and make their way up to the front right now. A quick thought that the word has been dealing with me is the spirit of entitlement. And I feel as if recently in our time, and this is I'm speaking to myself as well, I feel oftentimes so entitled to a certain ability or a certain gift from God or a certain chance by God. When really in the case, I am not entitled to anything. The Lord every single day is a gift. Waking up is a gift. And the time that I have is a present. And that is why it is called present. Because it is such a gift and honor. And I feel now more than ever, our generation struggles so much with entitlement. We're guaranteed another hour, right? We're guaranteed another day. No. We never know. Oh, we never know when the Lord's going to come back. In Proverbs 16, verse 5, it says, "Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished." Church, I'm here to tell you and to tell myself, give myself a good reminder. We have got to lose our spirit of entitlement and arrogance, because every second is a precious second, and we can continue to sing and harp on how good the Lord is, but He is a just God, and He rewards our faith, and He also punishes those who are unfaithful to Him. So I must remind myself and everyone here tonight, take every second and cherish it, because it is so precious to receive time that you can easily enter into the presence of the Lord. He is so great that He tells us He is omnipresent, and we can enter into His place, at any time. And I just felt that I just needed to get that off my chest, mainly more so for myself, if not for everyone else. So if you would now, get your pocketbooks out. Let's not be arrogant and giving either. But in all seriousness, I genuinely mean that. And it has deeply been on my mind, the thought of entitlement. God, here tonight, I am so grateful for the place you have given us, Lord, to come and worship freely, Jesus. I am so thankful that we have a place where we can worship freely, God. Thank you for our pastor and our pastor's wife and all of their family, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless us and reward the faith of everybody here tonight that gives and people that even don't give, God. In Jesus' name, bless this offering. Amen.
Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my.
Well, it's so interesting as you're seated that even though most of us do not watch them, horror movies are one of the big sellers in your generation. I'm not sure why we weren't expecting horrible things. With horror movies on the mind of leaders that help lead TV, men and women. And I'm understanding now that we even have several people that are strong across America in churches that have bought into that kind of thing. Watching films that are fake. Children watching fake. So it's not a real big deal to have fake church anymore. Fakery has dominated the scene in so many areas. If there's anything we're going to be honest about, it should be our own heart. We try to make everybody else be honest with us, but I want to be honest with Him. Open-hearted, holy, without shame, without fake. When I say hallelujah, I want to mean it. I don't want to do it because it's a Pentecostal thing. I want Him to hear my soul. I want Him to hear my thoughts. The Bible said He knows the very thoughts that we think. He understands people that really don't enjoy worshiping. He understands people that want people to think that they're ready to go to heaven. He's very conscious of all that. But He sent a few men, women, parents that are not willing for their children to perish. They're willing to put mirrors up. The Bible said the word of the Lord is a mirror. It mirrors us. That's the reason that many people don't want to hear truth. They want to go where the mirror turns to the side and they look in the mirror and see some other weirdo. I refuse to turn the word against the world. I want to look in the mirror for your preacher. I want to look in the mirror with you. And if there is some discrepancy, I want to be able to point you to the bloodline, the word, the spirit that will cure the ill or the weakness. I am excited as I could be about being a preacher in this generation. I am really excited about what God is trying to do in this generation. I guess I need some help, brother. Darren, thank you. How many of you like my son-in-law? He is a really good guy. I told him, I said, I don't know what all your mother and dad did to you or for you. But you are sure a joy in my life. Trusting that somehow with the equipment that the world has afforded us, that I truly put you in a place where you can evaluate your life. Where you can evaluate what you really want out of the rest of your life. I remind us that you were called of God. You didn't come to the house of God because of Pastor Meyer. you decided somewhere along the way that you would like to live this life in such a way that your forever life became the greater portion of that life. So he is faithful that called you. And we are to be faithful to the one who called us. It is a marriage supper of the Lamb that we're headed to. The Bible said we are not of this world. In the book of John, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Somebody say, not of this world. Those of you at home, I trust you're joining with us in every effort, praising and worshiping. It'll be to the advantage of your spiritual nature to find a way to amen God for being helpful to us through everything. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, there would be no pandemics. My servants would fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence?" Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest, I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of what this truth can do. I came to show you what truth really is." Now I'm just going to quote a scripture in the middle of this. The Bible said, "Let God be true and every man a liar." You don't have to teach your children how to lie. It is as natural to lie as it is to breathe. And many people, after having gone to church years, still struggle with not lying. It is a natural way out of what we think of trouble, of sparing somebody. But Jesus has pointed his finger right in my face, and you said, "You," and he said to me, "You preach the truth, and let me take care of doing the saving, because I am truth. I am the way. I am the life. I am the power. I am the glory." So today, we move on. David faced Goliath and the Philistines by himself. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. And I'm encouraging the people of God, the people of the name, people that walk in the Holy Ghost, fear not. For I am the Lord that gave you your first breath. And I've already got it on the calendar for your last one. It is appointed unto man once to die. We all have an appointment. Now we can cause that to be shorter by the way we choose to live. But all of us have been given a date on God's clock, how long we're going to be here. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. I am watching and listening to people that talk about believing in Jesus, and they only have one thing in mind: he can save. He can do that. But I refuse to tell us that we can do whatever we want to and still expect to walk out of a graveyard and under the wonderful place called heaven, where we rule and reign with him. He said, "If you obey me on the earth, then you will find yourself in the land where you are in charge. But if you can't obey me, then you will find yourself listening to yourself forever in an eternal place. We know that this was a test of David's faith in God. When they make fun of him and they ridiculed him for being so small against something so big. I agree that the pandemic and sin and hate and crime and all the things that are going on are big, but they're not bigger than my God. I wish somebody would say, I serve a great God. That's what the title of this is tonight. I serve a great God. We're not talking about some sort of a weirdo in situation. I mean, when I say hallelujah, I'm talking to a great God. When I dance in his presence, I'm dancing for a great God. When I go to bed at night, I go to sleep in peace because he is the Prince of Peace. I wake up in the morning and face my tomorrows because I've got the power of the angels and the power of the Word and the power of his Spirit. Hallelujah. You in Christ, hallelujah, can face anything. Somebody say, I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he's able. I mean, all of us. Keep that which I have committed unto him against the day of the Lord. Moses was called to face severe pandemics. I don't know how we think about it. It's just so easy to take that as a little Bible story. But if you had to walk beside Moses and hear the whispers under his breath, I don't know how we're going to handle this, but I know one thing, God called me. I'm not sure how this is going to turn out and when it's going to turn out, but I know God called me. I'm not sure about what all I'm going to face, because I'm telling you, this Egyptian situation with all their abilities and all that they've got going on, it could be pretty fearful somewhere along the way. I nearly guarantee you he nearly broke out in sweat every day he lived in the edge of Egypt. Based on what we have, we've already got the resurrection. We've already got proof. We've already talked in a heavenly language. We've already moved away from much of the world, and yet we're scared to death about all that's going on in our world. I'm not going to let you live in fear any longer. Greater is he that is for us than he that is against us. I'm going to preach it until I can drop dead. I am going to tell you tonight, it really doesn't make any difference what's going on out there. It's what's going on right here. It's what's going on right here that's the real factor. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's, and somebody ought to praise him in your living room and in your car and in this house. There's a revival spirit that is about to break loose. I don't want to be bound somewhere on the sideline. I am here. He is mine. He's got promises and provisions. Oh, I praise your name tonight. This Wednesday night, we shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. I wish some of you would go ahead and make some noise. He not nervous. Hallelujah. Joshua was to face going against a power structure. He couldn't even see all of his enemies. There was a wall between him and what could be. There was a giant wall. But he knew one thing, that if God called him and God could do what he had already done, he could do the rest of what he called him to get done. I'm talking to somebody. God didn't call you to go to a church house. He called you out of a world condition. He called you out of a sin-filled life. He called you out of a mental instability. He called you out of a weird setting. He called us out to put us on the solid rock of ages. He called us into a glorious relationship where we every day could talk to the captain of our salvation and know he's still God and is well able. I'm not worried about the people that are falling over dead. I'm going to keep praying for the ones that are sick. I'm going to keep preaching to the ones that are alive. But God is in charge of their breathing. I'm in charge of preaching. I'm in charge of telling the truth like it is. I'm telling the truth about tomorrow. He is able. We've got a legitimate right to dance to our King and to praise our Savior and to glorify His name. Hallelujah. Somebody get the Holy Ghost right now. In your living room, in your car, I'm here to tell you, you can get a renewing of the revival that is about to take over. Joshua, we like to sing about it, but do we really realize what the man did? Joshua kept walking when nothing was happening. At least you can talk in tongues every now and then. At least you can praise Him and experience. It's a phenomenon what God has set up. You can pull Him into the weirdest situation through simple praise. I'm not talking about just repeating praise words. I'm talking about from your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you begin to praise Him and you say, my God, I'm glad you called me. I'm glad you have given to us a notice that at a day appointed you're coming back for us. I can't praise your name enough. I can't thank you enough for the cleansing of the blood that gave me a freedom and a love and a glory. I can't. Bible said He pitches His tent and dwells where people praise Him. You want His presence? You want His victory? You want His glory? You want His supremacy? You want His authority? Praise Him. I'm not talking about just right now. I'm talking about during the day. We had a preacher here in town some years ago. I always thought it was just phenomenal. And I had to pick him up one day, and he had some car trouble, and he couldn't go a mile without saying, praise God. He stirred up so much God in my car, it was thrilling to be with that man. He was a part of our ministerial alliance. He didn't care who was at the ministerial alliance meetings. He would praise God right in the middle of it. He put your pastor to shame. He just could not stop. And it was amazing as I walked with that good man. Joshua, David, and you and I will go to heaven early or go through all that's going on with God. See, when you really believe in God, going home early is not a bad deal. If you really believe that that holy city is better than this earth. I said, if you really believe that getting rid of television shows that just fake out your emotions and you're going to go through to rule and reign with Him and destroy demons and powers, you're going to join with God in ruling the universe. That's a pretty big deal as compared to ruling and reigning over a washing machine and a dryer. It's a pretty big deal to go from one galaxy to another instead of going from one mountain to another. You're not going to get smaller over there. Don't worry about dying. It's not going to be a small deal. I promise you one thing. I would never preach this gospel if this was the best place to go and be. I'm here to tell you we got a better deal going. We got a bigger deal going. Serve the Lord with gladness, joy, and peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost in the middle of hell. Oh, I wish somebody'd praise him like he deserves it. Going to church is not like going to McDonald's. No. Going to church is feeding on heavenly manna. Going to the church and the house of God and going to prayer is like touching base with the captain of our salvation, with the captain of every breath, with the authority of healing, with the authority of victory, with the authority of power, the authority of peace. I'm telling you, there is no peace outside of God. If you ever feel peace, it's because God breathed into your world a little bit of what's going to be all ways over there. I'm talking to somebody tonight out there on the online and somebody in here. God sent me to tell you, gird up the loins of your mind. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Obey the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Let the glory of the Lord be your portion. Oh, I wish somebody just praise him again. He's worthy. He's worthy. If you really are looking forward to going to heaven and getting rid of hell, dying early, as long as you're in Christ, dying early is not a bad deal. Sorry about that. I got so excited I hit the wrong button. My encouragement to us is to do what 2 Chronicles 15 says, where Asa took courage. Oh, it thrills me to think. You know, a lot of people don't realize the sword of the Lord is a weapon against every adversary. The sword of the Lord is a weapon against those lying spirits that come to you and says, "You're because you failed once, you're going to fail the rest of your life." You take that sword of the Spirit and you chop that demon's head off. I know that sounds weird, but it's not half as weird as the movies your kids are watching. That is a bunch of fake stuff in the sense of God stuff, but I'm telling you, they are touching base with demons out there, and they're portraying that when they cut people's head off and they slice their bodies apart and all of that. That's demons. I don't want any part of that. I want somebody to preach to me about a Christ that let his body die and suffer so his blood could cleanse me from the demons and cleanse me from the dark thoughts and cleanse me from the evil way of the idolater and the fornicator and the adulterer and the adulteress. Ladies and gentlemen, it's high time. Oh, would somebody praise him again? The Bible said, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Why are we letting the crowd get us worried about dying? Why are we allowing the crowd to cause us to panic in some kind of setting in which God might not seem able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against the day of the Lord? I refuse to follow a world that's already streaking through this world in all kind of sinful practices. I want to find me a man of God, a lady of God, and I want to pattern my life out of them in the Bible. God proved truth by the resurrection and the life that He lived. The only thing we should fear is fear itself, because fear hath torment, and God don't torment anybody. Hello? Fear hath torment. Faith says, it's not by might nor yet by power, but by the Spirit and the truth of Almighty God, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free from all of that junk, and you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost that elevates you to think bigger and better than all of them fear factors that are tormenting people that are going to the house of God and claiming to have the God of the house. I'm not going to let that happen on my shift. I'm telling you, greater is He that is for us, and he that is against us. Our hell's not real, and heaven is just a vague, imaginative thing. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell because I've tasted of both dimensions, and I'm going to keep on shouting, and I'm going to preach like I never preached before, because you deserve it. America deserves to hear the fiery ministry of the glory of the resurrection. I wish somebody stand up and praise Him like He deserves it. I'm sorry the rest of you couldn't be here tonight. I'm sorry about that, but try to get a hold of it. God is doing great things. He's not waiting till tomorrow. He's on hand tonight. He'll be on hand in the morning. He'll be at your first morning prayer. He'll be at your first point of worship. So, God, 1 Peter 3. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Pandemics, God set Satan loose at Sodom and Gomorrah. Pandemics, God let the lion's den be the bed of one of His greatest prophets. Greater is He that is for you. How many pictures do we have to see to understand living under the shadow of His resurrection, that we are protected whether we live or whether we die? We are the Lord's, and we're going to get a body commensurate with the one that rose out of the graveyard. I am protected by the blood. I am protected by the work of the Spirit. I am protected. You say, does that mean you don't ever hurt? I've got a broken heart almost every day. I'm meeting people right now. God's got people on my agenda. I can't even go to a gas station hardly without somebody wanting to talk to me and finding out something about what's really going on. I'm telling you that the church is more alive right now than it ever has been in the last several years. I'm telling you there's a glory cloud that's hanging low, and the rain is about to fall, and the judgment is about to fall, and I don't want to be goofing around and just playing church and going through some routine. I want to be a shouter. I want to be a worker. I want to be a witness. darkness. I want to be a light. I want to be a fire. I want to be a knowledge. I want to be a hope. I want to be a love. I want to be a joy. I want to be a peace. I want them to sense it. I wish some of you men would just stand up and pray for our city right now. I mean, plead the blood of Jesus over our city. God, don't let us go through some Pentecostal catechism. Oh, God, every preacher in this county, every preacher in our state, every preacher in America, God, wake us up. God, I pray for every person going to every church service setting. I pray that there be a revival in the Baptists, the Presbyterian, the Catholics, the Episcopalians. I pray, God, across America that a revival fire start that will make the Wesleys seem like kindergarten men, that will make those people in the 1600s that revivalized America and foreign countries, that they would look like big toddlers about what's going to happen right now in America and in our world. I see a revival. I see a star cloud about the size of a man's hand that is about to fall with nice rain that's going to water every mind and every heart that has been so parched with just religion. Jesus is on your side tonight, wherever you are. He sent me to make you aware that He is an ever-present help in the time of despair. Verse 16, thank you. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be the ones that are ashamed and not you being ashamed because you have given your life to God. That's a true shame, that we would feel like we got to sort of duck out on our dress and our way of talking and our way of not talking and the way of what we don't do and the way of what we do. I'm telling you, it's a crying shame for us to feel like we're the ones naked and embarrassed when the world is flaunting sex and flaunting lies and flaunting hypocrisy on every front, and our kids don't know what to do and what to say because they hear the truth and then they see people that violate it, and they just think, well, I'm here to tell you, if grace without works is truly true, and I know this is a fine line, but I'm here to tell you, if grace without works works, nobody has to ever go to church. I don't know how to say it any more clear. Because if the grace of God that hath appeared unto all men is all that we needed, because grace covers it all, plus nothing, minus nothing, that is a bunch of hocus pocus that we got to do anything. You don't have to pay tithes. You don't have to do anything. Grace covers it all. That's ridiculous. I'm not as near as educated as I want to be, and I'm growing in it. But I know enough to know this, that if the grace of God has taken care of everything for everybody, you don't have to say anything or do anything. That's what I try to tell some of my friends that promote this idea, grace plus nothing, minus nothing, equals salvation. I've heard it till I am up to my head in it. I love those men. I love those ladies that somebody told them that stuff. But unmerited favor is that God would come down and try to teach sinners how to be saints and teach weak people how to rule and reign with Him in the entire universe. We're not going up there as weak people. We're going up there as in Christ, a new creature, a new creation, a new mentality, a new spirit. It is a big, big deal. Not let your children come to a church and think that just because grace is so wonderful. Jesus said this, through the Word of God, we have it straight. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. He was already full of grace. Why did he have to die? He was full of grace. Okay, so he shed his blood. And then the people that were the nearest to him were the first ones to go get baptized in Jesus' name, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and to divorce and emancipate themselves from the way of the world. The Bible said they were called the offscouring. They did something. And then when you get to Acts 2 and Acts 8 and Acts 10 and Acts 11 and Acts 19, I mean, Paul very clearly said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If saying I believe in Jesus is all that happens, why did the Apostle Paul, who was the chiefest of sinners, come in trying to court the glory of the Lord? You say, Pastor, that's hard preaching. I'm telling you, you talk about hard is to miss the rapture because you'd followed some truth that was not a truth. You say, you trying to get everybody in your church? No, I can't afford any more than what God puts on us. But I am trying to get everybody in truth. We are praying for every preacher in this county. We are praying for every preacher in our state. We are praying for our whole world. I'm telling you, some of the nicest people I know go to church regular, but they wouldn't even have to go because what they're hearing, they could read in the Bible and they could just find, and they wouldn't have to put their tithing in because tithing is works and works is dead. It's amazing to me how they keep preaching tithing but don't preach holiness. You say, Pastor, you inviting yourself into a licking. I'm going to tell you what, Colonel Sanders isn't the only one's chip finger licking good. I'm here to try to tell us tonight, if God be for us, who then can be against us? Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And because you preach against cursing and lying and adulterous activities and weird jokes that have all kind of insinuendos and all of that stuff, we divorce ourselves from that because that spirit just doesn't let that happen. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I'm just going to point this out to you, because if you go back and study the Reformation, you're going to find out, you're going to sense and see that all the way back in the 1500s, righteous lifestyle was promoted. It was only after carnal people got the ability to use words and twist them and cause deception that we have wound up with 360 ticket booths in our world selling tickets to heaven. I encourage you to go back and see the writing on your ticket. If it don't have the name of Jesus as the blood covering, I'd be nervous, because you can't even cash a check with the name Father on it. And it could be a very valid check as far as the cash available. You could cash no check with the word Son. There is no authority in a title. The authority is in the name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ alone is Lord, and he alone can save, and he alone is coming back, and he alone has cleansed the heavens. He alone. Say, Pastor, you are really getting ridiculous. I'm challenging hell for you. For Christ, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, Jesus, for the unjust, the rest of us, that he might bring us to God. God is a spirit. God, the Spirit, overshadowed Mary and brought forth a physical being that was the new bloodline. I'm not sure we're going to get that far in this lesson tonight, but I hope to God you can put your feet down and anchor yourself enough to listen to the word of the Lord. Put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. We have a more sure word of prophecy, the Bible said, an empty graveyard. We died out at the first, but many have actually tried to resurrect their own past and try to bring their flesh to a place where it can be noted as being a Christian instead of their spirit shining as the light of their flesh. Now, you may need some help on that, but I'm just giving it to you the way it is. By faith, we placed our future in the resurrection of Christ or the dead. If Christ be not raised, the Bible said, then your spirit and your relationship with him or your faith is vain. And then there is no heaven or there is no hell. Meaningful moments are occurring now. Be ready. Paul would say it this way. It's high time to awaken. Look at it with me. Romans the 13th chapter. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. It don't even whisper across the fence, I wish he would die. I'm hearing people say things like that that go to church regularly. What if that would have been you and God would have granted that? There was a time, I'm sure, mothers and dads wished I would have died at a young age. But I'm telling you, God heard the cry of another mother that said, God, whatever you got to do, follow him as far out yonder in the dark as he goes, and follow him as low as he gets. And I'm telling you, God, be merciful to my son. Be merciful to my son, my grandson. Be merciful to him. And that's what exactly happened. The mercy of God reached out and found me in pitiful and pathos and weak and weary and all of that, and called me back in. And I will never forget the night. I will never forget the night that I woke our evangelist up about midnight and went to the back of a church house there on Ferry and Drexel. And I went in there and started praying, and I committed my life to God when I was about 17 or 18. I don't remember exactly where it was, but I made a commitment that night. I said, God, I don't care whatever happens. I don't want to miss being with you. And from that point till now, I have not been perfect, but God has kept me, and he has wooed me, and he has worked with me, and I cannot tell you the joy that is joy unspeakable and full of glory because of that one night. One night. Paul said, knowing the time. Somebody say now. Somebody say now. It's high time to awake out of sleep. We can't be close-eyed to what's going on. I dare not sleep the sleep of death. I will not go to sleep in this pulpit. I will not bring passivity to this place. I will bring a powerful message of anointing every time I teach or preach. I am committed. I am committed to your future. I am committed to your children's future. I am committed to every pastor in this church, in this city. I am committed to this community. I am not going to go up there somewhere and just lay down and take it easy because y'all take such good care of me. I'm telling you, every day I get up, I look at that house y'all put me in. I look at that car I drive, and y'all put me in that car, and y'all feed me well. You think I'm going to let you down? Not on your life. I'm here to stay and here to say, great God, great Savior, great mercy, great healer, great in every way. He is greatly to be praised. I will not let you go to sleep. As long as you come to this house, count on it. The bell's going to ring. This trumpet is going to blow. He told us preachers, put the trumpet to your mouth. The night is far spent. How many of you realize that? Somebody say, it's been nighttime too long. The night is far spent. There's got to come a daybreak to what's going on. I said the night is far spent. If this man said it that many thousand a year, over 1,000 years ago. And now darkness has crept in to that reformation that started. Go study that reformation and watch it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We didn't get here on our own. It was some fabulous Methodist boys. It was some fabulous Lutheran boys. It was some fabulous Church of Christ type people. I can't remember their name. That's not their name. But it was some people that right now has slipped my mind. But I'm here to tell you, it was line upon line, precept upon precept. Read it, look at it, and find out where Pentecost got back in. 1900s in the Azusa Street in California. You'd have to hear, what's that girl's name that come out of our church in Shreveport, babe? Her husband did that at General Conference. You remember that? The Azusa Street Revival. And he brought that. Their son just died. And what a deal they gave up their son. What a fantastic guy he was. But I'm telling you that when he put that on at General Conference, there were chills, chasing chills all over my body as I watched how the Reformation grew as God turned more light on. And then all of a sudden people started wanting to, that light not to be so bright, and they started dimming the light. And now we've got people that go to church that are actually going to churches where same-sex marriages are happening, and men are men working that which is unseemly, the Bible said, with men, because they have watered the word grace down until whoever you are, whatever you are, and whatever's going on in your life, it really don't make any difference. The blood of Jesus just covers it. All you got to do is say, I accept Christ as my personal Savior. That's not what the book said. Repent or perish is what it says. It says turn from your wicked ways. That's what it says. It says turn unto the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That don't leave your flesh room to be playing games with it. I'm here to preach to you tonight that I am believing God to raise up a revival of fire in every building that's called the church house. I am believing that men that have preached less are going to preach more than they've ever preached. I am going to love them every day I live, and I'm going to pray for them every day I get up and can remember it. I am not going to be self-serving. I am praying for this county. I'm praying for the political leaders. They need to see the church. The church is what gave the world its power, not politics. The church put some people in charge of some things, and they feared God. And we had some great things happen a couple of hundred years ago. I told you in Jamestown, the first scripture you read when that first out there at Plymouth Rock, when they landed, the first scripture you read when you went into the church house was Acts 2:38. My wife and I saw that, didn't we? We walked in there and we looked on there and I said, man, I can hardly believe that. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, that truth has not died. If you're in on it, you ought to clap your hands big time. That's right. I can't imagine anybody wanting to bring kids through this world without the Holy Ghost, without showing them what it really does. It's not about talking in tongues. He just said, that's the sign you did do it. He said, the power is in your spirit. And he said, pray, not my will, but thine be done, so that that spirit can rise up and direct your paths. That path is the truth. The spirit itself maketh intercession with the Father for us with groanings. The Father is the source. That is just all you can say. It was the spirit that provides every tree, every animal, everything in the sea, every one of us, everything called life. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm seeing too many tongue-talking churches with all kind of strife and envy. I didn't get my way. I could just shoot somebody. I've heard that literally in Pentecostal churches. I know they didn't mean it, but they said it, and their kids didn't know they didn't mean it. I could just kill them. What? Come on, ladies and gentlemen. It's high time. He said it. It's high time. Knowing that what's happening in our world, it's high time that we not sleep the sleep of death, that we not go to sleep on our job, that we keep awake, we keep sensitive, we make sure the thermostat's set on holy, holy unto the Lord, holy unto the Lord, holy unto the Lord. The thermostat's set. If it gets too cold, we turn the heat up. If it gets too hot, we turn the heat down. I'm telling you, set the thermostat on holy, holy unto the Lord, holy. Holy thinking, holy action, holy living, holy everything. And we will find ourselves in great peace. All that other condemnation and junk, you won't have to have anybody putting the law back in your house when the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is adequate. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. If fear's happening, something else is going on. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of being a tongue talker, a godly living person, nor of me his prisoner. Your life, and we're going to study it, and we're going to get through it here in a few days. We're going to go into a session, and I'm going to help us to understand why we have been what we are and who we are going to be when that world looks at this assembly and they see the people that really are backbone in this assembly. They're going to see Jesus. They're not going to see a counterpart of the world that named the name of Christ and then still dresses like them. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now, somebody say now, made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished us. I want somebody to say, abolish death. We are eternal life. Your flesh is going to die in order for you to get your celestial body. This terrestrial body's got to be taken over. So right now we dominate it and make it obey the law of the Spirit, so that when we get our celestial body, we're not new to what's going on. We've been serving God forever. We've been serving God every day. We have brought this flesh into discipline, and we make it bow down to the celestial world, because the spirit world is greater than the physical world, and that's why you're in a pandemic, and that's why you're living with a bunch of sinners judging people that are trying to be righteous. It's not right, and God's not going to put up with it. He said, I will come and I will judge. You hang on. The show's not over. Live godly. Worship the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You don't have to have somebody tell you how to live godly. The Spirit will cause you to feel uncomfortable when you dress like the world and talk like the world. And that doesn't mean that you can't wear dresses that are the same color and suits that are the same color. He's talking about dressing in a way to try to make people look at you as something superior or greater because of the way you dress. That good thing which was committed unto thee. Somebody say, that good thing. What was that good thing? Somebody say, Christ in you. That's called the Holy Ghost. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. That word of God is a good thing. That spirit of truth is a good thing. That bloodline is a good thing. That name of Jesus is a good thing. Every one of them are a good thing. Looks like I run out of soap. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher. Let me get it a little bigger for you. There it is. I am appointed a preacher. I take that as if that was me. And an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I am totally persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I don't want part of me committed. I'd like to get there in one piece. Body, soul, and spirit. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So, the writer says, hold fast. Somebody just sort of get a grip on the word. Somebody sort of get a grip on the Holy Ghost. Sort of get a grip on the name of Jesus. Somebody sort of get a grip on the bloodline, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, in Jesus Christ dwelt all. Somebody say it real authoritatively. Dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's not some little Pentecostal thing. That is what the Holy Ghost does. It brings the fullness. It brings the glory. And I'm not trimming off the edges of the Holy Ghost or the truth to try to make it fit carnal thinking. I am going to try to help preach the whole gospel to the whole world and love every lost soul and love every brother and sister that's not even born yet. That good thing which was committed, keep. Could we stand? If you want a copy of this, you're welcome to it. I can print it off for you. It won't have the fire. Because the writer made it very clear, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. There's a reason God wanted you to do what he said. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Do it to your children. Let your authority ring. Let your certainty ring. But always in love. What does that mean, Pastor? God let Satan in that garden, knowing that he would try to tempt. And when I talked to him about it, you remember what he told me. No parent ever has to feel bad about children backsliding because my kids backslid. But he said the only reason they would ever have to feel bad is they don't have a plan or a means by which to get them home. And he has not failed through the law, the sacrifices, through every way. He's always had a door. Like the prodigal son, anybody will, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. The dad's house in Luke 15 portrays the power of the Almighty God in the book of Genesis when his only two kids, his only two church members, backslid. But he said, I am before the foundation of the earth. Don't you ever forget that. He said, I have a plan. No matter what the enemy does to seduce them, I've got a plan. I'm a merciful God. I will forgive. I will forgive completely. I will heal. I will heal all the scars of their past. And I will give them a light for a future. There's nobody. Nobody too far out yonder except those that have hardened their heart. Don't let hardness of heart get you. Don't let it get your kids. Constantly let them see tears. Let them see and hear the glory of the Lord. Could we pray? And if there's anybody that wants to slip down and just travail for a couple of minutes over your children, over your neighbor, over your boss, over your workers, it's not a bad idea to just come to the altar and pour your heart out for a couple of minutes. You can pray longer later. But while they sing, I'd like to give you an opportunity here at the house of God. There's some people that you work with. There's some people that are watching you every day. And when they come to you with questions next month, I want you to be able to tell them, there was a Wednesday night I prayed for you. And I believe in God to help you.
So wait, I say, wait on the Lord.
That's it. Those of you at your house, those of you that are just listening to this days later, the Bible says, seek his face. While he may be found of thee,
I say, wait on the Lord.
I refuse to be a hireling. This church takes care of me. Many of them would be fine if I just preached pretty much the same thing. But you matter. Yes, you matter. Mama, sweet child, let me tell you that the mercy of God endureth to all generations. Nobody's going to make you do anything, but I'm not going to preach less than best. There's a church praying for you. There's a preacher praying for you. You don't have to come to this church to get what I'm talking about. I can help you find it. I'll be glad to show you more words from straight out of the book. I'm not mad at anybody except the devil. I am sick and tired of him making God look weak in your eyes, in your thoughts. I want you to see God won through many pandemics. Nobody died that wasn't at their appointment.
All your strength, so wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will renew your strength. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord.
For you while she continues to play it, to pray for your pastor. This is no game for me, and it's not a way of making a living. It's a way of making God glad he called me to be a preacher. I can make a living. That's not what this is about. Again, y'all take great care of me. But it's your prayers, it's your love for God that really feed my spirit. Pray for your pastor right now. Those of you out there online, pray for Pastor Meyer. The last thing I want to do is to let you come up short when they open that book in Revelation. And the report is given of every deed done in the body. Beside that deed done, it's going to be a place where we had a chance, and it'll be written. 10,000 angels are us transcribing your life every day. That book will be accurate. If you think Siri is smart, you wait till the books are open in glory. If you think your computer is smart that can tell you how to get wherever and in seconds tell you the average and what the greatest trouble in America is, seconds. Don't you think the God that made all those people can tell you in a split second, you did good? That's what I want him to say. Let's praise his name one more time before we leave the house and before we cut the web off. Thank you, Father, for this great crowd of people that have listened in online, this crowd of people that have been in the house, that have called on your name. You said where two or three agree as to touch in any one thing in my name with faith, believe, and it shall be done. And there have been several people that have called on your name for a revival, for a restoration. I encourage all of you to read Psalms 23 and read the book of Joel and let God speak to your heart. That's the book of Joel. Only three chapters, or a few chapters, I'm sorry. Let the word of the Lord speak to your heart. Thank you for being in attendance.
Straight, so I've tasted your goodness. I'll trust in your promise. I'm gonna wait on you. I'm gonna wait on you. I've tasted your goodness. Trust in your promise.